This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Typically, you would investigate until someone says stop, which they did. I mean, that's literally what happened. It's just someone said stop way before anyone should have actually said stop.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
There should be a checklist of things that you do when somebody has died. And I feel like they just checked everything off and went, oh, we didn't do it. Again, the fingerprinting, I think, would have been a really important thing to do. This happened in 2011. So, you know, there weren't Ring cameras. There weren't things like that. So you don't have surveillance to look into. You don't have...
No, you had surveillance to look into.
Well,
you didn't have a Ring camera in this case, but there was a building camera.
But there weren't cameras inside their apartment. I mean, I've got two cameras running in my apartment right now. But you know, there was Amazon Alexa that you could go back and hear what happened.
Because no, none of that existed.
So, you know, there are things that they couldn't have done back then, but they didn't even do the bare minimum here.
And that's the big problem. I mean, this is a self-reported timeline, with so many holes in it. I mean, it just blows your mind. It blows your mind that this is even a conversation anyone is having with the evidence that exists for at least looking at this. I mean, the whole premise that this was a suicide is based on Sam's self-reported story. The physical evidence of her death, of the crime, which is not considered a crime, contradicts the whole damn thing. I mean, the lock doesn't prove what he claimed at all. The wound pattern screams homicide. I mean, it physically, it doesn't scream it. It proves it. That's what I'm sick of the verbiage in stories like this, where, well, it points, it doesn't point, it proves it. It's not an if. If someone's spine is severed, it's severed. It's not a if it was, it is. The knife went through an area that would have rendered her immobile.
It's like being kind of pregnant. Either you are or you're not.
Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts here in so much of this. The medical examiner, they called it right initially a homicide, but then somehow it was flipped around. So what the hell happened, and why the hell has no one looked into this deeper? And I don't know. Obviously, like we said, he's never been charged with anything. I'm not saying he did it. But why was it this not looked at any deeper?
We just got a question. This is a good question. I'm not sure if we know the answer. Didn't Sam call his uncle an attorney before he called 911?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all that too. I'm trying to because I've covered this case for so long, and there's so many little pieces here and there, and I tried to have them all ready when we went on today. But yeah, there's that too. So before 911 was called, when he couldn't get into the apartment, calls the attorney. The attorney what should I do? How should I handle this? We don't know what was said in those phone calls. But that seems rather odd. I think you might be calling 911 first if you can't get in there and you're concerned that your fiance might be suicidal. But no, remember, you better have a good excuse. A good excuse for what? For locking your ass out? Maybe there's a reason. Oh, but wait. I don't think she locked him out. I don't think that was part of ever the damn story. I think it's part of the narrative. Is it part of what really took place? Probably not, in my opinion.
I don't know the layout of this this complex or anything like that, but pushing on that door once or twice or banging on it to get in is not going to move that latch enough to get in. So there had to have been some commotion that someone around them may have been aware of, if that really happened.
I don't know. There's a lot of powerful people involved in this case.
Yeah.
And that's why we're saying 50 times to Tuesday that Sam has never been charged in this. We're not saying he's guilty of any of this. We're just saying this looks weird. Yeah, it looks extremely odd. Let's bring up the graphic of the stab of the knives in case anyone's never seen this before.
This is where I check out. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
This is what the suicide looks like of Ellen Greenberg. Is that a suicide?
No.
When I saw this for the first time when you sent it this morning,
yeah,
I could not believe it.
It's insane.
For anybody in the medical profession to sign off on this, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
There's no word. There's no word. How could you stake your reputation? How could you put your reputation on the line and go, oh yeah, that was definitely a suicide?
Well, if you leave the district, the jurisdiction, and continue on elsewhere with your career, I guess, you know, you don't have to worry about it after a while. But this is the case.
I'm not a medical professional. I mean, I'm a veterinary technician, but yeah. That's pretty sketchy. So I'm just going to say, okay.
Yeah. And the AG was recently confronted. What's his name? He's the governor of Pennsylvania now. Todd, look that up for me real quick, yep. If you would. I just can't think of his name. He was the AG at the time. And there was a lot of looking in his direction of
Shapiro.
Josh Shapiro. There was a lot of looking in his direction of why did you sign off on it this way? Like, why did you not investigate this further? And Brian Anton of News Nation confronted him at like an elementary school a couple months ago. In a press conference asking why are we not looking at this deeper? And it was kind of an awkward moment. He was not expecting questions on this case at that moment in time. And the reaction was just a big bullshit reaction of, well, people just don't seem to want to accept the outcomes. I know the family is very hurt. You know, the typical bureaucratic politician, very sad for the family, you know, but some people just, it's hard to accept, what the findings are. And that's basically where he left it because he's going to probably try and run for president. And this is a really bad stain to have on your ass if you don't you don't want it exposed or hurt your chances at the presidential run. So we'll keep screaming this, because if you're willing to cover this up, you're also not qualified to be the president of the United States. Now, that doesn't say much about what we're dealing with right now, but still, I'm sorry, this is a red herring that will continue to follow you unless you'd like to do something about it, Josh.
I just cannot. No, well, of course the family is unhappy. Look at this. If this were a family member of mine and they tried to tell me this person committed suicide, yeah, I would be losing my mind.
Here's the problem. Joshy allegedly has connections with the Goldbergs. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Interesting. I would think if you are heavily connected to a family that has a tragedy like this happen, you would make sure that things were thoroughly investigated.
You would, unless you don't want someone from that family going down for murder.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Just saying.
Yeah. In the odd possibility that evidence pointed in a direction like that. And if that's not the case, that's not the case. But there was only two people around. There was no signs of break-in from the outside. There was no footprints in the snow, like from an outside window or anything like that in an emergency escape. There was nothing. This happened inside.
Was everybody in the building questioned?
Yeah.
I mean, only murders in the building is a show on
Hulu. Well, and look, if you're wanting to cover something up, there's ways you can get people not to talk too. Just because you questioned everyone in the building doesn't mean you questioned everyone in the building or wrote it down. If you questioned everyone in the building to what they said, that's why all these years later, Brian tracked down Anton, the guard, and he's the one just a couple months ago who got the testimonial from him saying it never happened. I was not there when he tried to break down that door. That is not the real story. You're getting this again from reporters. You're not getting it from investigators. It's taking reporters, it's taking the family to do the job of law enforcement that refused to do their job in the first place. That's why we exist. So everybody's like, oh, those are reporters. Well, guess what? If not, you're just going to have to go along with toe the line of the bullshit that the Philadelphia PD wants to spew out there. And if you like to believe that that's a suicide, then be my guest. Go ahead, believe the bullshit. But I think your common sense can tell you it's something else, allegedly. I don't know what Sam had to do with it. I think it'd be lovely if he were to say something. Maybe. I don't know. Or for this just to be looked at a little bit deeper. It's got to be a weird thing knowing that there's all this information about this case out there and to share a bed with a person that, I don't know, seems to have a lot of questions around them. It's got to feel weird. Unless you just never absorb that and you never take it in and you never think about it. That may be the case too. But there's just so many damn questions. And his story is his story. And until we hear any different, that's what's on the record. We'll have to see where this goes. There's another hearing again scheduled for later October, which will just keep punting this down the road, I'm sure. We'll investigate that. We'll say we're going to investigate that. Is there anything that's going to force us to investigate it? No, but we're going to say we're going to. That's what's been happening. And that's the latest. So that's the Ellen Greenberg case and where it sits right now. Earlier, actually, just last month, I had a chance to sit down and have a conversation with Eric Faddis, defense attorney. We dived into where this case was at the time. This was before the hearings that took place this last week. But here's a look at where this case is sitting. In just a few minutes after this, we'll come back with defense attorney Bob Mata from the podcast Defense Diaries. We're going to talk some Donna Adelson and also the latest in the Aaron Spencer case as well. Here's that conversation with Eric Faddis.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine your daughter is found stabbed 20 times, including deep wounds to the back of her neck. That's a stabbing. That's clearly not a suicide, right? The medical examiner first said homicide. Then, after a closed-door meeting with police, said suicide. No arrest, no suspect, no grand jury either. So you fight, you ask questions, you call officials, and for 14 years, all you get is redirected. It's like the infamous being on hold forever. Hang on one second while we transfer your call. You know, we all know that music, the one that haunts you in your dreams. Anyway, first the Philly DA recuses. Then the attorney general takes over, only to kick it back to the DA's office, who then hands it off to another county. Each agency claims they can't move forward. No one wants the case. No one wants to admit it was mishandled. And all the while, your child's death certificate still says suicide. Today, we're unpacking the legal maze that has kept justice from the Greenberg family for over a decade. Former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis joining us to walk us through exactly how and why the system keeps failing, shifting, and stalling instead of acting. And Eric, I mean, this is a crazy case. I mean, this has been going on now 14 years, like we said. I mean, you've seen both the inside from a prosecution standpoint and defense. When a case like this gets handed off over and over and over again, what does that tell you as a legal insider on what the hell is going on here?
It tells me, one, that there is some information that might be exchanged behind closed doors that folks would certainly want to learn, because it's unusual. It's peculiar for those to have this sort of rotating group of prosecutors who all don't want this case. And you know, on top of that, you want to think, if you're a parent and God forbid something like this happens, the coroner is going to be impartial and they're not going to be influenced by one side or the other. They're going to do their job objectively. And there's a strong concern that didn't happen here.
There's a lot of concern of what didn't happen here in this case. DA Larry Krasner recused himself early on, that handed the case to the attorney general's office, but it sat there and then years later it got passed back. Is there any legal justification for that? Or, I mean, how can this, something like this, just simmer in limbo forever? There's never been a suspect named. Clearly there should have been, but we won't say that person's name on the air. But it never has happened. And despite evidence that exists to it, it just keeps going from place to place with a lot of people being very well connected. And it's all in the ether now. This is not some hidden behind closed door thing. It's out there. And it's just still like, yep, this is how we do things.
Yeah, it's very concerning. And my understanding is the family even petitioned the court to reopen the investigation because there was no movement, because nothing was happening with their deceased daughter who died 14 years ago under very suspicious circumstances. The family was trying to get a new investigation into the death, and they seemed to get some traction in the courts. And then, like you said, lo and behold, here we are at a snail's pace 14 years later, and we have really nothing to show for it on the investigative side and on the prosecution side. So a lot of eyebrows raised, a lot of folks are saying, what the heck is going on back there? Why is this thing tossed around from attorney to attorney and no one will take accountability? No one will sort of move the ball at all.
And that's just the weird thing. I mean, once Chester County declined prosecution based on insufficient evidence, the criminal side effectively just flatlined. But with the original medical examiner, just last year, reversing the ruling from 2025. Now, it was a verbal reversal. It didn't officially change the actual ruling itself, but they said, yeah, that shouldn't have been that. Should that reopen the door alone? I mean, everybody saw that and went, okay, look, see, even the medical examiner is finally saying this should be a suicide. If you're an investigator, it would be, oh, well, maybe we should look at this sooner. Or maybe they should have already always known that all along and just didn't want to have that be the reason of why they have to do their job. But I feel like this is far more than just any sort of laziness. This is systematic. This is targeted. There's a reason that certain holes are not being dug, and whatever is beneath that hole continues to burrow further.
You know, if a person was looking for a nefarious intent on the investigative side, they could certainly impute one reasonably based on how this thing has gone. And you know, that's one of the tragedies in the delay in this case over the course of years, is that as time goes by, witnesses die or fall off or move. Evidence becomes stale or is lost. Investigative reports sometimes can be lost. And so it becomes so much harder with each passing day to prosecute the case and try to find justice for this poor woman who couldn't have stabbed herself in the back of the neck, you know, and stabbed herself 20 times by way of suicide. No one in their right mind believes that.
I mean, and is that the problem? I mean, is that the problem? And was that the plan all along here when we look at this with 14 years of hindsight of perspective? Was this, let's get this off the rails. Let's get this to a place where, yeah, you know, evidence comes and goes or things aren't maintained or kept that could be used and people forget things, and 14 years changes memories and minds. And if you can go just long enough, the person who we're covering for it can get away with it. That kind of feels like this is, I guess the question is, why are we covering for someone? or why is government allegedly covering for someone? We know that there's a fairly high powered family where possibly the suspect comes from, and very, very well connected. And maybe that's the answer right there. It's more so a favor, not necessarily, well, we really like that dude. He seems like a really nice guy or gal or whoever it might possibly be. Is this more so like a favor for the family, if you will, if we're speaking all in alleged, you know, we're completely speculating here type terms?
Yeah, I mean, if that were the case, it would make sense to kind of try to sweep things under the rug, say, oh, this was a horrible thing, and now we're going to move on, and let's not talk about it too much, and hope that dirt under that rug is not uncovered in some sense. Certainly, there are concerns of corruption. There are concerns of dereliction of duty on behalf of the government officials, and you know, questions about the ties that those folks could have to other persons of interest within the case. And I think when someone looks at the initial finding of 20 stab wounds, including to the back of the neck, and the government saying this is suicide, the alarm bells go off and they're like, wait a sec, people want to know more. And so that's why there has been a renewed interest in this case, even after more than a decade. But is it too little too late? It might be.
I mean, that's the question. I mean, dereliction of duty, sure, but that's not necessarily breaking the law. It seems like really, for the most part, everyone has operated within the legal confines of the rules of the game, for lack of a better term, and have used those rules of the game to their benefit, even when kind of stretching them out in places where, you know, one may go, that might not be ethically right, but it is legally okay. It feels like a lot of that has gone on in this case, and a lot of political motivation as well. I mean, this is a politically, I guess, somewhat risky case. I really don't quite understand why it's a politically risky case, because I think anyone who looks at this case is pretty much like, yeah, she was stabbed. I don't see how that goes from a Republican to Democrat type view. Anyone I've ever seen it, I don't know that there's any crowd that has ever looked at this case that said, yeah, it was suicide. I'm pro-suicide on this one. They're not out there. So why it's politically risky, I don't know. I would think it might be more politically risky by who you might be pissing off higher up that may have some connections to the actual suspect or should be suspect in this case that has never actually been named a suspect rather than the actual public itself and those repercussions. I'm trying to figure out what makes sense here. Might be more grave than even what you would have from a public perception.
Yeah, Tony, you make a good point in terms of, you know, folks allegedly serving their own interests in the investigation, but staying just inside those mm-hmm. Guardrails, just inside those legal parameters, but still kind of finessing that system. One illustration of that in this case is where the coroner initially determines that this was a homicide because, 20 stab wounds to the back of the neck. Seems obvious. But then the police meet with the coroner and the court changes the conclusion to suicide. Now, there's nothing unlawful about the police meeting with the coroner. That happens routinely in death cases in Colorado where I practice and elsewhere. You know, if they were exerting some kind of influence to cause the coroner to testify falsely, that's one thing. But it kind of just seems like there was some conversation and maybe some assertions and that those folks kind of all got on the same page for what purpose. You know, is it some malicious purpose? That's a question on a lot of people's minds.
And incompetence quite often can masquerade as malevolence. And that's another angle to this that I'm wondering about, because again, it's all allegation. We are just speculating here. If it's not the first thing we talked about of covering for some sort of powerful family or person or whatever it may be, if we're going to go down that road, let's go down the other road. Is it covering for just a really shitty investigation of people who didn't do their job right, who didn't clear this crime scene and investigate it effectively? I mean, literally, I mean, there's so many things that were screwed up on this case from day one with very, very bad investigative work that totally compromised the case. Is it more of that? Is it more of, we don't want to get sued? We don't, well, I mean, they already are being sued, but maybe originally preventatively, we don't want to be sued. We don't want to look incompetent. So let's just keep bouncing this around here over internally within our infrastructure. And no one's going to get it out there because legally we don't have to technically do anything with it. We can just say this and keep it in our camp until you can't. But they seem to have been able to keep it in their camp and not have to go where they should go with it to protect themselves, even with the public outrage and the outcry. They still are like, nope, here's how we're keeping it. Is it a saving face effort more than it is covering up effort?
Well, without question, there were errors in the investigation that, like you said, compromised the ability to even prosecute this case early on. So, and on top of that, whenever you have a death case, you know, you have a young woman who has 20 stab wounds, there's pressure. There's a lot of pressure on law enforcement, on the coroner, on everyone else to sort of get this right. And perhaps if they realize, oh, we totally screwed that up. We didn't get it right at all. And now we sort of, you know, what's a good way to get that heat off of us? Well, let's ride the horse that this was a suicide. And that sort of absolves the prosecutorial arms of their duties and obligations when it comes to pursuing potential homicides, because it wasn't a homicide. And so if they wanted to cover up their own incompetence, this would be a way to do it.
We see so much of that. And I wonder how long this will remain a mystery. Or if it will forever. Her parents continue to fight the system. They continue to fight for justice for her, and we'll keep covering it. And I'm not going to play it right here, but if anybody is curious or just discovering this case and want to know a little bit more, go listen to the 911 call.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.